As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
It's a typical rainy day in Washington, the Grays Harbor area. But the rain that falls, it isn't normal. It's not normal at all. A cop on patrol flips on his wipers, but the rain just smears across the windscreen. He exits his car to see what is falling from the sky. It's not a liquid. It's clear, but it's got a texture more like jello, and the substance has no odor to speak of. The officer is not alone. Nearly everyone in the small town of Oakville, Washington, witnessed the strange rain. A few even kept little samples. Funny story, right? Well, up till now it is. But then they started getting sick.
Featuring Joe Sweeney from Thinking Sideways Podcast and filmmaker Vincent Caldoni. This is The Shocking Details.
Hey there.
Welcome to another episode of The Shocking Details. As you can tell, we're joined this week by one of our guests. We've actually had her on the show before. She's on an episode of Corona Chronicles, and it's Bonnie. Hey, Bonnie.
That's yeah. Right. Hi, how are you doing?
Welcome, Bonnie.
Yeah, it's thank good you. To have you on the show again.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
So we are covering this week another story from the state of Washington, which I wrote this episode. I also wrote the one about Ape Canyon. So sorry for doing two Washington-based stories in a week, but
No, it's actually 2 weeks because we did it. We did it.
Sure, there's one in between. That's true.
Yeah, we did. So yeah, no worries.
I get on a jag and I get stuck in areas or time periods, but I'll move on eventually. I promise.
Okay.
This story takes place on August 7th, 1994, in Oakville, Washington, and as you heard in the little intro, it was about 3 a.m. when the rain began to fall. And it rains a lot in that part of the world. Grays Harbor is a really rainy place, even in August.
Oh yeah. Definitely.
As we said before, the rain contained this odd sort of gelatinous substance, and nobody knew what it was. Unlike some websites will tell you, it didn't fall just once. Actually, it fell over a period of 3 weeks. It rained strange gel substances at least six times in the area in and around Oakville.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
Yeah, I don't know. How do you keep your car cleaned?
You don't.
Well, I guess not.
Yeah, it made a real mess. People complained about it, you know, like being like stuck on their decks and stuff.
All right, so let's go back to the night of August 7th. And our pal, Officer David Lacey, he's the one I mentioned earlier. This is important because anybody who wants to say it didn't happen or it was a hoax has to contend with his report. He did write one. Lacey was on patrol with a civilian friend because that happens a little bit more in small towns, I think. Yeah, it's a little more casual. It starts to rain. And immediately he noticed something odd about the rain, which is that it was sticking to his windshield. So, of course, he turned his wipers on. Then, of course, as you know, all that happened is it smeared it around instead of washing it away. Officer Lacey and his buddy pulled into a gas station to try to clean the stuff up. And they were smart, actually. They went so far as to put on latex gloves first. Yeah, good move. And Officer Lacey described it as being, quote, very mushy, almost like if you had Jello in your hand, unquote.
That's a quote. So
that's a credible report, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, that's a firsthand report. It was written the night of August 7th. So, yeah. I mean, there were many, many witnesses to this, but at least we know that Officer Lacey was there and it's a contemporaneous report.
And this case would be covered a few years later on Unsolved Mysteries.
My
and
according, show.
Yes. And according to local resident Dottie Hearn, she told Robert Stack and Company that she was up, you know, nice and early. Yeah, typical old person schedule. Mm. Yeah, and she goes outside after the rain had already stopped and noticed this substance everywhere covering her front yard. And initially she thought they were hailstones, but upon touching it, she noticed it was very gelatinous, a very odd texture, similar to gelatin.
So it only took until that afternoon, I mean, the very same day of the first rain before Officer David Lacey and Dottie Hearn and other residents became mysteriously and violently ill. Mm. They reported independently of having difficulty breathing, vertigo, blurred vision, and an increasing sense of like extreme nausea. Oakvillian Beverly Roberts told Unsolved Mysteries that everyone in town, I don't know if it was everyone, but I think that's what she said, contracted a kind of a flu-like illness, which for some people lasted up to 3 months.
Oh, God. That's a long time to have
that's
the flu.
That's miserable.
Oh, yeah.
Several cats and dogs also that had come into contact with this substance, they got sick and some of them even died.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
That sucks. So less than a full hour after noticing her symptoms, Dottie Hearn lost consciousness. She was later found sprawled on her bathroom floor. Conscious, but very weak. Her daughter, Sunny Barclift, and remember that name, please. Sunny described her as feeling cold to the touch, but covered in sweat and looking sickly and pale. She was taken to the hospital where she stayed for 3 days and was diagnosed with an inner ear infection, which is weird because, I don't know, it seems like she had more than that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know. But Sunny, she wasn't buying the ear infection thing. Mm. She had remembered the odd rain and thought maybe there was a connection to Dottie's condition. So she collected a sample and sent it to the hospital. The lab technician examined it and found it contained human white blood cells. But the medium wasn't able to be identified or how it could possibly have fallen from the sky. So the lab tech sent the sample to the Washington State Department of Health for further study, where microbiologist Mike McDowell noted that it was full of two species of bacteria. One of these two lives exclusively in the human digestive system.
Hmm. And an odd thing to have dropped from the sky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Upon hearing that the blobs, as they became known around Oakville, contained human white blood cells, the Washington State Department of Ecology's, is the name of the department, Hazardous Material Spill Response Unit, they did their own investigation. Finding that the cells from the blobs were found to have no nuclei at all. Hmm. That would mean that they were prokaryotic cells. Hmm. The most common source of prokaryotic cells that you'd run into in your daily life are very simple organisms, most commonly bacteria. But the Department of Ecology couldn't even begin to classify the type of prokaryotic cells that they were seeing. It was something apparently new to them. So naturally, they did what you would expect them to do and just gave up and moved on to the next thing.
Yeah, of course. They would follow up on that a little bit, huh?
Just toss out the new discovery. Who cares?
I know.
I think how uninterested the authorities were is going to become a major sticking point in this case.
Oh, certainly.
Yeah, I know. Definitely. But as far as the cells go, you know, it's really weird because they found different kinds of cells. And I sort of wonder if there was any professionalism in the gathering of these specimens, or if it was just locals scooping them up with their fingers and putting them in baggies.
Same thought. I mean, there's got to be some cross-contamination going on to have so many differing results.
Yeah. I mean, we know that Dottie and Sunny kept samples, and I don't know how they... you know, how they handle them. I would imagine not in the same way lab tech is, but I would be interested to know how the Department of Ecology got their samples. And I was unable to find that information.
Mm, yeah.
I'd like to think they dispatched a technician to Oakville to gather one firsthand. Mm. But then even then you have the issue of you know, if they didn't get there right away and they just went to a, I don't know, like a public park in Oakville and picked it up off the ground, who knows what it came in touch with.
Oh, exactly. It's been laying on the ground for days, if not weeks. Yeah. And yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, who the hell knows? But I kind of suspect contamination.
At the least, yeah.
So about a year after Dottie faints in her bathroom, she mails a sample that she collected and stored in her freezer to M-Test Laboratories, a private research lab. The tech who analyzed the sample believed that what he saw what appeared to be a eukaryotic cell. Now, eukaryotic cells are the cells that basically animals have. So, you know, they have like a nucleus. So nothing falling from the sky really should have a nucleus-containing cell that you would typically see in animal life.
Yeah.
And so that means that if these were truly part of the blobs, that means that whatever the blobs were, whatever it was, had at one point been alive. Well, assuming, of course, that it wasn't a case, again, of just contamination.
Yeah, which is possible. But then you also have to, you know, yeah, I mean, so if it's not cross-contamination or some kind of contamination, you have to then square with why one group of people is seeing prokaryotic cells and one group is seeing eukaryotic cells.
Mm-hmm.
That's really different.
It's very conflicting.
Yeah, it's weird. But,
So 1994 wasn't that long ago, but it was a while ago. And, you know, if this had happened today, I think the results would have been very different. This was a big story locally, but it didn't get national traction. And even Mike McDowell was frustrated by how uninterested authorities in the state of Washington were.
He was the guy from the Washington State Department of Health, right?
Correct.
Yeah,
he was the microbiologist.
Yeah. All right.
The truth is, once the strange rains of illness-inducing jellos passed, people moved on and very, very little investigation was done.
Sad.
All right, so now let's jump forward to 1997.
Oh, here's the good part, yeah.
Yeah, and who gets involved? Unsolved mysteries.
All right,
yeah, that's when they got in on this.
Oh, yeah.
And
did Robert Stack
on the case, guys.
Did Robert Stack come to Oakville?
No.
Oh, he should have.
Things remotely.
Oh, man.
I like the idea of Robert Stack in a trench coat poking around Oakville looking for blobs.
Cooking the goo.
Just trying, exactly. Just,
yeah.
He's going to solve the hell out of this one without spilling a drop on his trench coat.
Yeah.
In a highly irregular turn for the series, they actually seem to kind of under-dramatize how odd the phenomenon was. You can see it. You can go back and rewatch it. It's on Amazon Prime. I think there's even a clip on YouTube. And they kind of treated it more as like a funny oddity or a one-off more than something that was odd. And I mean, in theory, could have killed people. I mean, you know, if you think about it, how many people got sick? It's kind of lucky nobody passed away from it.
That's kind of odd for unsolved mysteries.
Yeah, I'm more used to them playing things up, making things seem more dramatic than they were.
They really downplayed this, considering they've featured things like magic rocks that grant wishes. You know, alien segments.
Yeah, no, it's
true. But the deadly goo—that's fine. Yeah, just kill all the small pets.
Not to see here, folks.
Yeah, you know? I don't think they even. If I recall it, I'm not even sure they mentioned the pets that died.
Yeah, you wonder if perhaps this is a government conspiracy, and they happen to have Robert Stack by the short hairs in some way or another. And they said, yeah, we want you to cover this and we want you to basically say nothing to see here, folks. Yeah.
Yeah.
That could be it.
Yeah, I mean, they mostly just thought it was kind of a quirky thing that happened in this little, you know, corner of the wet Pacific Northwest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, oh, look at this gross stuff falling. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's only 90 miles north of Portland, you know. I would say, I sure hope that doesn't happen
lucky
here.
Lucky I missed you.
Locals like Sonny Barclift are still a little miffed by that, by the unsolved mysteries thing, downplaying their local mystery. I don't blame them, actually. Mm-hmm. But according to a post, Sonny happens to have a website called Fact Legend. And
it's actually not her website.
Oh, it's not?
Legend.com. It's actually defunct, too. Well, actually, FactLegend.com is still up. But the page where she posted this got archived, so I had to go digging to get this.
Okay, because I couldn't find it. Yeah. I looked it up.
it's still findable. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, you got to use like Wayback Machine.
Okay. Well, anyway, so Sunny did make a post on this website. She said that not only her mother and Officer Lacey got sick, but that a local doctor confirmed that actually dozens were sickened. And this is backed up by other accounts from locals. There's kind of a sense to these late coming stories that most people didn't feel the need to report that they had come down with an odd flu-like thing at random. And the majority did not get as sick as Dottie did. And if your pet, of course, gets gets sick and dies, do you go file a report with the police? Probably not. And yeah, where do you tough. Where would you file your report? The health department? Does the health department even keep track of things like pet deaths and the flu? I mean, and so it took a while before people in the community really realized what had transpired. I mean, a lot of people got sick and they just didn't put two and two together and talk to each other and start to think that, you know, hey, maybe this is all connected.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I think you can imagine people meeting at coffee shops and saying, oh, you know, that's so weird. I got sick right after the blobs fell. Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Oh, my neighbor was really sick. I think it kind of happened more like that than, you know, like one big newspaper headline.
Yeah.
It's odd, but at the same time, you're not going to report pet deaths like you would livestock dropping dead by the hundreds. Mm, yeah, so I can see this blowing up locally, but not on a national level.
Mm. Exactly.
So nothing to report, really. There's another aspect to this that didn't really make it onto Unsolved Mysteries that I really think should have been there. Locals insist to this day that in August of 1994, military aircraft, such as jets and helicopters, repeatedly made low altitude sorties over the city. This is very out of the ordinary and really disturbed residents, especially in light of the blob rains and inexplicable outbreaks.
It's a little weird.
Yeah. It's weird. So at the demand of some of the locals, I believe the mayor of Oakville was involved in this, a little more investigation got done. And it turns out that the Navy had been practicing bomb runs out in the sea, out past Gray's Harbor at the time. So a theory developed, and it goes like this. The Navy had blown up a bunch of jellyfish. They basically used the bombs to mash up the jellyfish, and the pieces of it were taken up into the clouds somehow and deposited over the town by the rains. Now, there's a couple of major issues with that. However, for the moment, most people I was looking at on the internet or whatever seemed to like that theory the best. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about that more when we kind of get more into the theory section.
It's wacky.
Yeah. And it is kind of plausible. There's issues with it, though. The town of Oakville has actually been talking about this idea of putting on an annual summer festival dedicated to the jellyfish. It's going to be like a jellyfish festival. And locally, there is a drink consisting of tropical fruit juice, gelatin, and vodka. It's like a little jello shot. It's called the jellyfish. That is a popular summer drink around there.
I don't know, man. I guess, you know, if you got to be known for something, it might as well be the blob. I mean, well, I'm not sure what else Oakville is known for. So the blob sounds like, you know, as good as anything.
Yeah.
It's a good way for them to make their mark.
Yeah. Yeah, bring the tourists in, yeah.
All right.
All right, so jellyfish. This is the most popular one, but I'm really not down with it. But here's how it goes anyway. So the naval bombings runs at sea had accidentally pulverized a school of jellyfish and sent pieces of the poor critters flying into the atmosphere where they were absorbed by the clouds and then rained down on Oakville, which, by the way, is a full 50 miles inland.
Yeah, it is quite a ways. I was going to say, I mean, I was thinking that in support of the theory, I mean, I don't buy the idea that they get blown up and they're sent into the clouds. That's ridiculous. But I could see them getting sort of like pulverized and shredded by a bombing run. And then maybe a waterspout comes along and, you know, and sucks them up into the clouds that way, perhaps.
Right. Yeah, but you think something else would be in there, like some kind of debris or other parts of the jellyfish.
Salt water, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kelp. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, so basically this has kind of been the most popular theory. That's why there's the drink and the proposed festival that never, ever seems to happen. And a lot of people out there who are, you know, reasonable internet denizens find this to be the most obvious answer to it, you know, the easiest one to understand. And it does make a kind of a sense because these things happen, right? Like it's rained frogs and things like that in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the cells were found, some of the blobs were found to contain eukaryotic cells, which jellyfish have.
Mm.
Yeah.
But let's,
but
I think I can poke a hole through this. So you could fly a Navy bomber through.
Oh, okay.
The distance, the parts of jellyfish would have had to travel plus the number of times they fell are just not realistic. They're going to be really heavy. The idea that it's going to move 50 miles inland and it's going to do that all the time, I don't love that. And there's another issue that we kind of talked about earlier. Dead jellyfish smell awful.
Mm.
And no one reported a rotting smell, which would have been overpowering. People said this felt like hail. It was covering their decks. They were slipping on it. I mean, come on, that would be, that would make a terrible stench in August.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And every account I find says it said it was odorless.
But but a related thing though, so we'll say it's not jellyfish, but also I want to point out that as bodies of water go, Puget Sound is actually a lot closer to Oakville than the Pacific Ocean. And so what if it was something else? What if it was like, say, some sort of weird, what do they call that stuff that you do, used to deal with rust? It's naval jelly, you know? And so what if some shipyard and not so far away in Puget Sound was using, had vast quantities of that stuff that also got sucked up by, you know, some sort of, you know, little mini tornado or something like that. Again, this is ridiculous because, I mean, why was Oakville the only place that had this stuff land on it?
Right.
But, yeah. Well, and then we also know that, you know, the Navy wasn't bombing Puget Sound. They were bombing the Pacific.
Mm. Well, no. I mean, the bombing is not required for this. Naval jelly is like, and it is a clear gelatinous, gooey kind of substance.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's an interesting theory that it could have been some industrial product that somehow ended up in the air.
Yeah. But the question again, of course, is why only Oakville? Of course, you know, Oakville is like there's a lot of empty country around there. It could have like showered down all around the surrounding countryside.
It did, you know, actually. It wasn't just in Oakville city limits. It did fall outside the town quite a bit.
Yeah. But why again, like, for example, if it was taken up repeatedly by some sort of little mini tornado, then why wasn't the wind blowing differently this particular day, and it went over to Seattle instead of Oakville, that kind of thing. So again, it's like, but I'm thinking that, you know, given the fact that it didn't rot, and so it makes me think it was some sort of chemically, you know, an artificial man-made substance. And by the way, speaking of artificial man-made substances that are kind of jelly-like, you know what else is oh Christ, I'm having a senior moment here.
Come on, Joe.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I had the word earlier. Now I've forgotten it.
We're gonna have to unplug you and plug you back in.
I know. Seriously, man. Give me a smack on the side of the head. No, forget it. It doesn't matter. We can just cut that out, can you? Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess you were just talking.
Now I remember
now we got it. He's back.
Okay. Right. Let me give it a finger snap. Hang on. Another man-made substance that's kind of gelatinous is napalm. So
doesn't napalm, I guess I don't know about it, when it has a smell though, right?
Right.
It probably does. I've never actually been around the stuff, but it's jelly gasoline. And so you dump that on the enemy, or at least on his forest, burn them all down and stuff. And so, you know, maybe they were practicing their napalm runs and, I don't know.
Maybe. It is an interesting idea. Like, yeah, maybe it was something that was inside. I've wondered that too. If it was maybe something that was inside their bombs, whatever they were. Oh. I have no idea what they were dropping on the Pacific Ocean. I'm sure, you know, that's never been released. I suppose I could have tried to look up what is typically in it, but you know, like when we covered, remember the Boys City bombing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
those were, you know, filled with a small amount of explosive than just like sand and water.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know exactly what they were doing. I mean, it's actually, I really wish they wouldn't do that because it's very rude to the sea life. That, you know, I mean,
yeah,
you know, very, it's disruptive. Like, you know, there's deserts out in, like, you know, out in Nevada and eastern Oregon and eastern Washington where you can drop all the bombs you want. And
yeah.
So,
exactly.
But anyway, that's off topic though.
No, but I'm with you. And they have been, I mean, there has been a lot of controversy around naval activity off the coast of Washington. It makes the papers pretty frequently.
Mm. Oh yeah.
So I suppose theories. We should talk about poop.
Really?
Good.
Poop.
Well, okay. So
are you saying this is like angel poop? Is that what you're saying?
No.
The angels took from a the crap. Heavens? the angels took a crap So the angels took a crap, and of course, their poo don't stink, right?
Yeah.
Or are you thinking about a different kind of poo?
Because of Mike McDowell's findings, it has been speculated that the blobs were human waste from an airplane, although not sure why, because obviously poop and pee aren't clear, and they usually aren't gelatinous, and if they are, there's probably something terribly wrong with you.
I thought
you need to see a doctor.
Yeah, I work in urology. You shouldn't be peeing gelatin.
But doesn't that stuff comes out of the plane as a big frozen chunk, right?
Yeah.
At high altitudes, I guess.
Yeah.
Would it be gelatinous though?
Yeah.
Or not hard.
It wouldn't. Yeah, it would. This is actually, so I did look into this just a little bit. Like, I'm not like an expert on this stuff. The Federal Aviation Administration's regulations require that plane waste be dyed blue. And it does occasionally happen. I actually found photos on the internet of people who found chunks of foul smelling blue ice in their yard or whatever.
Oh, good.
But nobody said any of this stuff was blue. It's also forbidden for pilots to release what in the business is called blue ice in mid-flight, except for in extreme emergencies where the plane would like need to lose as much weight as it could quickly.
Yeah,
that's a good idea, actually, because could you imagine that? That's about the most ignominious death I can think of. Crushed by a bunch of frozen poop.
Terrible way to go.
Just to get us way off topic, I was terrified of this as a kid.
Oh, really?
I was, for whatever reason, every time I saw an airplane, I just thought that like the airplane bathroom was just like an outhouse and that it was just going to be dookie falling on my head.
Like when they flush, it just comes out of the sky and hits you.
When I was small, that's what I thought must happen in airplanes. Yeah. I was like, they can't just carry that around with them. It'd be terrible. So I got to like, I'd see an airplane, like I have to get undercover.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if actually some of the earliest airliners maybe did exactly that. Oh, God. You know, went to a holding tank. I mean, you don't, but it goes to a holding tank. And then from there, just whoop, out it goes.
Yeah. But I mean, just to double back. But I don't think anyone has ever mistaken a turd for clear gelatin.
No, like, I don't think so.
No.
Yeah. Odorless, too. Like one of the big things everyone says, it didn't smell like anything. So the idea that it came from an airplane, I don't know why this theory goes around. It's totally inane.
Mm-hmm. All right. We got another theory here, which is that this was the Washington meat shower. So maybe this is a recurring phenomenon because we talked about this in my old podcast, but a similar event occurred in Kentucky in the year 1876. And to this year, it's unsolved. Nobody knows what the hell fell out of the sky. But something gooey and disgusting did indeed fall out of the sky in this rural town in Kentucky. And the famous, of course, Kentucky meat shower, as you probably heard about it. And I think Elvis Presley did a song, didn't he?
Kentucky Rain?
Yeah, I think that was it. Yeah.
I don't think it's about the meat shower.
It was based on this incident, if I recall correctly.
Elvis fans, it was about, you can reach Joe.
Yeah, it was about walking in the rain. Yeah. And so, yeah. Okay, so it's happened in Washington. It happened in Kentucky. So it's obviously a rare event. We're talking about more than 100 years apart. But it could be happening more often, but it just more often falls in uninhabited areas. So, but still unusual. But, maybe there is some sort of phenomenon in which weird crap accumulates up in the clouds and eventually precipitates back out again. And just, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think that's about all you can really say is like, there are aerial phenomena that we do not understand.
Yeah.
Like ball lightning we've talked about on the show before.
Yeah.
Maybe this is another one that where a gel forms at some insane high altitude and comes plopping down once every 100 years or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Another possibility. I don't think this could have been possible back in the 1876 in Kentucky, but I did a little research into cloud seeding because I was wondering if somebody had some fascinating new technology for more effectively seeding the clouds and getting rain out of them. And I was not able to uncover anything gelatinous and gooey. They typically use like silver nitrite and things like that and drop lots of little particulates into the clouds to try to get it to rain or snow or whatever.
Right.
And so I was thinking, maybe there's something. Of course, it's possible they were trying some new substance and instead of, and it wasn't a goo itself, but when it started having water forming around it, which is what happens with the silver nitrite and cloud seeding, it formed and it gooed it up. It sort of got it all gooed up instead of just basic water. And again, I don't know. And then I was not able to find any records of any sort of experiments with unusual new chemical compounds for cloud seeding that could have caused this possibility to happen. Mm-hmm. But maybe it was a rogue experiment in cloud seeding. I don't know.
Yeah. You got me. I think that's, I think it's an interesting theory. Especially I think one of the details that like we talked about gets left out of this is the military's involvement.
Yeah.
We know that the Navy was running these bomb runs off of the coast of Puget Sound, off in the Pacific. And they saw these helicopters and jets flying at low altitudes would wake people up.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually lean toward the idea that this had something to do with the military.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not be anything, you know, dark and conspiratorial, but I think that's why they were in there, why their presence was there at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they were trying to engage in some kind of cloud seeding or whatever like that.
Yeah, these guys were monitoring the results of the experiment flying around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, so that kind of dovetails with our next theory. Do you want to talk about this one, Bonnie?
The government.
The government.
So some people like Sonny Barclift believe Oakville is the site of a military experiment designed to test a biological weapon or to better understand the potential damage from a biological attack on U.S. soil. Which sounds kind of paranoid and crazy, right? But maybe not so much. As it turns out, the government has carried out similar tests in Phoenix, Arizona, San Francisco, California, and even Washington, D.C. So could something have gone wrong here and the substance being used have been making people ill for real, thus initiating a cover-up? Well, that's what Sonny Barclift believes. And a lot of other Oakvillians believe that.
Yeah,
I think one thing that also supports that kind of paranoid idea is that no samples of the substance exist today.
No.
Amtest, I believe, has said that they destroyed all their samples during testing. Mike McDowell doesn't know what happened to his sample. It seems to have disappeared into the bureaucracies of the state of Washington. I mean, it could have also just been mishandled or thrown out, but
it's likely.
Yeah, there is a chance, though, that some Oakvillian hears this podcast and has a little gel in their freezer.
Yeah.
You know, actually, when you think about it, it kind of makes sense, like from, say, a chemical warfare perspective. And maybe they figured they were dropping something just inert that wasn't going to make people sick, but maybe it was contaminated or something. But when you think about one of the downsides of chemical warfare, one of the downsides of chemical warfare, of course, is the wind, you know, and you launch your chemical warfare attack against the enemy and then suddenly the wind changes and bam, you're attacking yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you use a gel of some sort that would coat people and objects and plants and everything, and you couldn't avoid touching it, that would be actually kind of effective. And it would definitely reduce the danger of accidentally gassing your own troops.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And the other thing also is it wouldn't blow away in a breeze or get washed
evaporate.
Down a drain.
It would
sit there. It would dwell.
Sticks.
Yeah. So maybe it was some sort of chemical warfare experiment.
And I'm wondering if maybe it was something like that, only the whatever they were putting in there just wasn't as inert as they thought it was.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know either. I kind of tried to – I really like this theory, so I was trying to – dig into it, and I kind of came up empty a little bit because I don't have a lot of good idea, but I know that that's what, like, Sonny Barclift, for example, is pretty vocal. Mm-hmm. Really, she was. She hasn't posted anything I can find in quite a while. But
you
for a time,
the government
was very vocal.
Got her?
Maybe they paid her off.
Yeah, that could be that too.
If she's sitting in a mansion outside of Oakville, spending all those big Navy bucks. Hey, Sonny Barclift, if you're listening, feel free to get on the show and tell us what you think.
Yeah.
If you've been paid off or not. But yeah, you know, I think that's something that they, you know, that a lot of people kind of thought when, they were very disturbed by the lack of response from health officials. I mean, this hazardous spills division comes in, takes samples, and are like, that's weird. Bye.
Yeah. And then lose all the samples.
Lost the samples, apparently.
Lose the samples. Yeah.
And then you pair that with the low flying sorties or whatever, and it is weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, they have lost samples before, like at the National Health Institute. They were cleaning out the lab and they found some vials of the smallpox strain.
I heard about that. Yeah,
it does happen.
Isn't that terrifying?
You think they keep track of that stuff, but no.
Oh my god! Yeah, I know. It's like, oh yeah, we misplaced a nuclear weapon or two, but you know, hey.
At least you found it.
It turned up eventually, you know, two decades later. Yeah, or most actually, this is one of the most egregious of all time. Is the FBI lost DB Cooper's cigarette butts.
Oh,
yeah. You know, and if we had those cigarette butts, we could identify DB through DNA. And yep, we could, but they conveniently lost them. So too bad.
Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah, I'm not 100% sold on the idea that this was some sort of covert military thing, but of the theories put out there, that's the one that I kind of lean toward.
Yeah, it's good, but the question is, again, why do you dump this stuff on a town full of people when you can dump it anywhere? I mean, the whole idea is really to test to see just how well it sticks to the ground, how well it holds up to the rain and doesn't evaporate. Well,
that's your test. That's what you would do. Maybe they had a different design for
maybe
it.
That's a good point. Maybe they wanted to see how many people they could just, you know, get sick. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a good sample size. The city's not too huge. You probably don't want to take out New York City, but... This is a population of, what, 660-some people?
Something like that, enough
people to tell you something about it.
Tell you how it spreads or something like that.
Yeah. And if it was a biological warfare experiment, which it might have been, then they could have actually infected it with some sort of recent flu, something that they knew wasn't super deadly, but, you know, unpleasant, but, you know, not a killer flu or anything like that. So they could put that in there. I mean, think about it, too. The gel would be great because not only would it stick and people would get it on them and come down with it, but animals would brush against it and then go home to their owners and infect their owners and transport it all over the place. So, you know, maybe it was not a chemical warfare thing, but a biological warfare thing.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's the one I lean toward. What about you guys? Which ones do you guys gravitate towards?
I like the military. Isn't Oakville in close proximity to Fort Lewis? So we have an Air Force base nearby, right?
We have an Air Force base, and we know that the I could not get the name of the ship, but I mean, in principle, there would have been an aircraft carrier.
Yeah,
you know, within a few hundred miles of there to do the bombing runs. Yes, I don't know. I guess I think it left from the sea. But yeah, so there's a lot of naval presence.
Yeah, not
just, plus you've got
not just carriers. I mean, you got aircraft, you got like naval air stations and all kinds of stuff. Yeah, and of course there's a bunch of stuff. You know, Oregon has got a lot of airfields, like National Guard and other military airfields too, which are very close by. So
certainly close enough to fly from. Yeah. I think that's one thing in his favor. What do you think, Joe? You're going with the poop, aren't you?
I'm like, well, the angel poop. Oh hell yeah! You know, I mean, but
advanced alien sanitation technology.
Oh, that reminds me. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, we didn't even talk about aliens. What if this is the alien blue ice, you know? And
there's this clear.
As I said before, you know, I mean, it's not entirely a given that the aliens they send all across the galaxy are their best and their brightest. So somebody just hit the wrong button and ejected their equivalent of the blue ice at the wrong moment. Yeah.
Right. 6 times in 3 weeks.
Yeah. But-
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't put in any of the more kind of outlandish theories I could come up with. Like it occurred to me, and I don't know what we would get from this, but that the substance bears a passing resemblance to ectoplasm. I mean, from Ghostbusters, but not like that. People said it was gelatinous, not jello. They said it was runny like an egg white, which is what it usually was. But then it also had no odor. So, you know, maybe there was some spiritual thing going on. Maybe it was a portal to another realm opening up over the city of Oakville.
Oh, that's a good part. I like that. That's a good one. Yeah. But yeah, more practically speaking, I kind of like the whole government malfeasance theory. That's a fun one. Certainly beats the poo theory.
I think the poo theory is just, I don't know. I think people just like talking about it. It's so gross.
Yeah.
I don't think it holds a lot of water.
No.
It'd be poop. It wasn't poop.
Yeah.
I think we can write that one off. Bonnie, you got any theories?
The only other thing I could think of was maybe it was atmospheric pollution, possibly from a nearby factory. I mean, I pulled up a map of chemical plants in the area, and there was a cluster of them, but I don't know how many of these were active at that time. But, you know, maybe they created a waste or byproduct that combined with something in the atmosphere and it was gelatinous. Who knows?
I like that. Although you'd have to, I don't know, I guess not. I don't know. You'd imagine it probably would smell like
chemicals
or something. Right. Yeah. It probably would.
The other thing I was trying to see is if it left any residue behind. It didn't seem to that I could ever find anyone talking about. Like, I was curious if it had oil in it or something like that, and it would leave that little rainbow sheen, but it didn't seem to do anything shiny. Like that.
It would be interesting, actually, to go up there. Of course, it's been too many years, really, but go up there and just dig up some soil samples and just test them and just see if there's anything really unusual in there.
Yeah, it would be, in 94, you could probably, if you had an undisturbed patch of land, you know, even if it was just someone's backyard, if it was really as thick as they say, you might find something in the soil. Mm-hmm. Might.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
If it was, especially if it was inorganic, whatever it was, if it was not, but it seems like it was organic in some way, but I guess we don't know.
Sort of.
I'd like to actually cut down a few mighty oaks too and count their rings and count back 27 rings and see what, if there's anything anything weird going on in that one ring from that in 1994. Maybe. You know?
Yeah. I actually didn't hear about it having any negative effects on plant life or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Any long lasting effects.
So I don't know, man. It's a weird one, but let's just hope if it happens again, it stays in Oakville and doesn't migrate its way down here.
Yeah. Well, if it does happen again, hopefully we can get a fix on what it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I sure would like to know. I've been curious about this one for years.
It is weird. I mean, I'd like to know too.
Yeah. Six it's frustrating times. That.
It's weird enough that it happened once, but that it happened six times. That's weird.
Yeah. And that's really the thing I think that gets downplayed about it is that, you know, is that it kept showing up.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, you can read, you know, if you just go on some little like listicle website and read about it, it'll say, oh, on one time it rained jello on Oakville. It actually happened quite a bit that summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Within a short period.
Yeah. There was a time like in I think it was 1970. On the Oregon coast when it rained a really disgusting substance out of the sky.
Yeah.
But that was when they dynamited the whale. I don't.
Yeah. That meat shower was man-made.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Well,
all right. Well, I think we probably got what we need to put this one to bed. Anyone else got any last things they want to add?
Not really. How about you, Bonnie?
No, that's it for me.
Yeah. All so, right. Okay. Well, all right.
I like your industrial waste theory though.
That's a good one. All right, folks. So if you have any theories of your own, stay tuned and you will hear some vitally important information on how to get a hold of us via email or if you prefer social media. And let's see what else. So, yeah, we're going to give you our usual beg for, a review and a rating wherever you happen to get this from. Please, you know, leave us a good review. Leave us a rating because it's.
Yeah, it really helps a lot to get the word out.
It does. Yeah. So, you know, if you wouldn't mind, take just a minute. Say something glowing. So that's it. Until next week, folks, we'll talk to you soon.
Hold on. I want to say a big thank you to Bonnie for coming on the show.
Oh, yeah.
It's great to have you. Always fun to change it up and have a listener on. So, I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Thank you both for having me on again.
Well, you are totally welcome. Maybe we'll have you on again one of these days.
That'd be great. That'd be
fun. All right.
Cool. Well, we will see you next week.
Ta-ta, folks.
The shocking details can be found at www.theshockingdetails.com. We're on Twitter @shockingdetails. For discussion of episodes and more, our Facebook group is facebook.com/groups/shockingdetailspodcast/. Or you can email us at theshockingdetailspodcast@gmail.com. And if you like the podcast, please consider giving us a like and a positive review and letting people know about us.
You know those popping phone handle things that you see on everyone's phones nowadays? Well, how would you like to put your logo on them? Does your podcast or band need new merch? Do you want to bring attention to your new book or film? Maybe you need something unique for your Patreon or crowdfunding campaign. Then visit thelogopop.com, where you can customize them with the logo of your podcast, band, business, art, school mascot, or whatever else you can think of. These are way more affordable than you may think at thelogopop.com. Mention where you heard this ad and get free shipping on your entire order. Remember, that's thelogopop.com to order your custom popping phone handles. That's thelogopop.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.